This is a teaching from One Thing Ministries Singapore. For additional resources and information, please visit our website at www.onethingministries.net.
Why don't you turn to me to the Book of Song of Song? The Book of Song of Song is just after the Book of Ecclesiastes and before the Book of Isaiah. Okay, we're going to continue on the series of Song of Song. About 2 weeks ago, we started. Today is session two. About 2 weeks ago, we did session one, which I give you a brief introduction of what this book is about. Today, I'm going to give you a brief overview of the entire 8 chapters book. Okay, the purpose is so that we understand the whole storyline, the whole flow of the book. Hello? The fullback is gone. Do you, the guitar one. Testing 1, 2. Up, 1, 2, 1, 2. 1, 2, 1, 2. Okay, Ken, thank you. Today I'm going to give you a brief overview. Then I'm just going to run through the whole book just quickly and briefly so that you understand the whole flow and the whole storyline of the book. Okay, it's not that hard to understand if you break it down. You understand the main storyline and the theme, so that you can read it on your own. It's a very beautiful, powerful book. Okay, if I get to like this book, you got to like this book, because I used to grow up hating poetry. So when I was, my first encounter with Song of Song was in 1992. It was a horrible experience. I thought this book is strange. Talk about flowers, perfume, fragrance, and I have no clue what this is about. But it's about a very powerful book that teaches us about our journey into intimacy with Jesus. If there's a few words just to describe this book, you can call this the journey of progressions. It's a journey of progressions which teaches us about our journey in our pursuit of Jesus. Because the whole pursuit of Jesus is a journey, is a process, is a progression. Okay, there's no formula. So this book is really a journey of progressions. Okay, never get used to this book. Never get tired of this book. You know, my concern is always hearing people saying, "Oh, Song of Song, I heard it before. Is there anything new?" The issue is not getting familiar with Song of Song. The issue is getting Song of Song into your heart. And the key too is not knowing the book of the Song of Song. The key is encountering Jesus through the Song of Song. I always say this, I don't want to just know the Bible. I want to know God through the Bible. And that's the reason why I want to know the Bible. Because I can know God through the Bible. And the same principle applies. I don't want to just know the Song of Song. It'll be easy. Just buy a few commentary, download a few teaching, and there are plenty. In fact, last week or 2 weeks ago, I shared that Song of Song probably is the second most wrote about book in terms of commentaries, just second after the Book of Romans. So the key is not knowing the Song of Song. The key is encountering Jesus through the Song of Song. So we're going to take next 14, 15 weeks for this journey. I call it the journey of progressions. Progressions into our intimacy with Jesus. Because this book gives us a powerful pattern, or the journey in our pursuit of Jesus. It's a journey into intimacy, more than just intimacy, but it's also a journey into maturity. Maturity both as a believer as well as in your ministry. Because at the end of the day, the bride of Christ is more than just this lovely, lovely, intimate, emo feeling. There's a place for it. But being the bride of Christ is about mature in our character and mature in our ministry. That means Jesus is looking for a mature, wholehearted bride who is equally yoked with Him. He's looking for someone to partner with Him through understanding His heart. That's why this is a journey of pursuit of Jesus. Journey into intimacy and maturity, okay? There are 8 chapters, the entire book. It's written to, it's a progression. It starts off in chapter 1, verse 5. Let's turn to chapter 1, verse 5.
chapter 1, verse 5. It's a journey. If there's one word that describes this whole book, it's a journey. It's a journey of growing in passion. It's a journey of growing in intimacy. It's a journey of growing into maturity. The whole journey begins in chapter 1, verse 5. Let's turn with me to chapter 1, verse 5. We are all very familiar with this verse that says, I'm dark, but lovely. The entire journey of the Shulamite woman begins with this verse. So Shulamite woman is a picture of the bride of Christ where she's totally immature. Can you give me a little bit of feedback? Suddenly it's fade off. Okay. Song of Songs chapter 1 verse 5 said this, I'm dark but lovely. This is where she begins as fully weak, fully immature. This is where we begin too. But the whole journey does not stop here. The goal of the Song of Song is not to stop at chapter 1, verse 5. You know, sometimes I'm always very concerned when people say, yeah, I'm sincere. I think it's good to understand that we are sincere. But the goal is not Song of Song, chapter 1, verse 5. The goal is Song of Song, chapter 8, verse 5. That's where the whole journey ends, where the Shulamite woman finally become the mature bride of Christ. Turn with me to chapter 8, verse 5. Chapter 8, verse 5. Just open up the Bible because it's good for you to scribble over your Bible so that when you read, you understand, okay? See, the goal, the end point is not chapter 1, verse 5. The end point is chapter 8, verse 5, where she finally become a fully mature bride. Verse 5 said this, Holy Spirit declared, who is this coming out from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? That is the entire end point for this whole journey, is to be truly, fully mature in Christ. Okay, and the last chapter, from chapter 8, verse 6 to verse 14, lay out fivefold aspect of a mature bride of Christ. Okay, that's the goal of our whole pursuit. Okay, we don't stop at chapter 1, verse 5, but we want to end at chapter 8, verse 5, where finally we become mature. Okay, what I'm going to do today is going to give you an overview, okay, where we're going to give you a general storyline and the summary of the entire Song of Song, okay? Song of Song, write all this thing down if you want to. What you can do is write on your Bible, which will help you. It's an 8-chapter book, okay? Straightforward, 8-chapter book, kind of like short, okay? The entire book is about a journey in pursuing Jesus. This whole book can be divided into two parts, two main parts, okay? That helps you to understand the theme and the focus, okay? The whole book can be divided into two parts and then 15 sections. The 15 section actually breaks down for you different phases and different seasons of her life where Jesus is dealing with her or what she was going through, okay? So the whole book can be divided into two main parts, which is chapter 1 to 4 and then chapter 5 to 8. And 15 sections, okay, which describe the Shulamite woman, which is a picture of the bride of Christ, okay, describe the Shulamite woman's journey of growing into holy passion with Jesus. Want me to say it one more time? The whole book can be divided into two main parts, chapter 1 to 4, and then chapter 5 to 8, the first four chapters and the last four chapters, okay. And then the whole book can be, again, divided into 15 sections, which describe the whole journey, the season which she goes through, which is a very good signpost or roadmap for us in our journey, because this is one of the most powerful book where it reveals the very pattern, the divine pattern of God in our pursuit of Jesus. Okay, going to dwell on the two main parts first. The first point, chapter 1 to 4, which is the first main part, primarily focus on the bride's inheritance in Jesus. And then the last four chapters, chapter 5 to 8, focuses on Jesus' inheritance in the bride. That is a switch, major shift in chapter 4, verse 16, okay? So the first part is focusing on the bride's inheritance, okay? That's where it's a season where she discovers who she is in Christ and how God view her and what does God means to her, okay? It's a season where God wants her to understand who she is in Christ. It's really a season where God is establishing her identity. If you read through carefully, the whole focus of the bride this season is primarily her enjoyment in God. She's kind of like self-centered, immature. She has no concern of what God thinks, how God feels, or who Jesus is. All she's concerned about is, oh, bless me, bless me, bless me. Well, there is a season where God allows us to go to, I call it the soaking meeting time. We just sit there to soak, eat the apple, and God feeding you. And God allows that season. Because there are seasons where God just wants to let you know and establish your bridal identity, to know who you are, to know how much God loves you. So this is a season where the focus is on the bride's inheritance in Christ. During these first four chapters, I'm going to say this. During this first four chapters, Jesus is the mean to an end. Jesus is not an end. I mean, she's really self-centered, fully immature. Her focus is primarily what she can get out of Jesus. It's like, bless me, bless me, bless me. And God allows it because this first four chapters, the real focus is God wants to establish her in a bridal identity and God wants to establish her in the confidence in the love of God. You see, I always say this. When you come to a point, you realize that you don't have to do anything and God still loves you. You understand the love of God. See, a lot of time, we don't fully understand the love of God and we serve so that we can feel a little bit better that because I serve God and I earn His love. This is a season where God really is grounding her identity to let her know that God loves her no matter what, and also who she is as the bride of Christ. So that is the whole first four chapters. The focus is on the bride's inheritance in Jesus. Then there's a second part of the Song of Songs, which is chapter 5 to 8. Chapter 5 to 8, where the focus of the book completely shifts. Okay, the verse that shifts it is the most popular verse. Not true. Most people wouldn't like it. Turn with me to chapter 4, verse 16. It's the prayer where she cried out unto the Lord to perfect her faith and to mature her, okay? Which is the second part of this book, chapter 5 to chapter 8. Now the focus of the book completely shifts. The first four chapters, the focus is on the bride's inheritance in Christ. Now, the focus has become Jesus' inheritance in the bride. Because as much as God wants to bless us, sure, He wants to bless us, it's never an issue. It's a non-issue that God wants to bless us. Financially, spiritually, happiness, health, so on and so on. It's a non-issue. But there's something God wants the most, our heart. The first four chapters, God wants her to know who she is in Christ. And the second four chapters is really the chapter where God is doing something deep in her life so that she become mature. First four chapters, she is primarily self-centered, immature. It's really that self-centeredness where, oh, Jesus, bless me, bless me, bless me. Jesus is a mean to an end. And then the last four chapters, I call it God kind of tightened the screw because she say yes. She wants to be the mature bride of Christ. And the focus shifted to become a Jesus' inheritance in the bride where God is doing something deep in her, okay. Chapter 1 to 4, the focus is on the bride in establishing her identity. Primarily, God wants her to know who she is and the ravished heart that, ravished love that He has for her. It's a season where she totally has no concern of the things, of the desire, and the heart of God. It's really about bless me, bless me, bless me. Then the turning point comes, okay, which we're going to go through stage by stage. At Song of Songs chapter 4, verse 16, where suddenly she realized that there is something much more. Jesus desires something. That's where she prayed a powerful prayer in Song of Songs chapter 4, verse 16, where I call it the blank check prayer. It's a blank check prayer, where she really invites Jesus to perfect her faith and her maturity. Okay, she said this in verse 16. Awake, O north wind, come, O south, blow upon my garden that is spies may overflow. Let my beloved come to his garden. What a powerful prayer. And basically, she's saying that I surrender everything to you. Jesus, I invite you to my heart. All I want is for my faith to become mature. And she said that prayer, and there's a shift right now. That prayer turns her garden into his garden. Okay. The entire focus of book shifted. Now the focus is on her becoming the inheritance of Jesus. Okay. So this is the two main parts, chapter 1 to chapter 4. Focus on Jesus, the bride's inheritance. Chapter 5 to 8, focus on Jesus' inheritance in the bride. Okay, and throughout this entire book, remember last week I talked about the four inheritance statements. Throughout the entire book, there are four key inheritance statements. Okay. And this four key inheritance statement is very important because it actually describes the progression of faith from being self-centered to become God-centered. It's being placed strategically at different juncture of a journey in the entire Song of Song. Okay, the four key inheritance statement is in chapter 1, verse 15, chapter 2, verse 16, chapter 6, verse 3, and then chapter 7, verse 10. We call it the inheritance statement, where this four statement describe the progression of her faith from being self-centered to become God-centered. Okay, let's run through all four. Okay, all four, because it's placed at the strategic juncture. The first one, Song of Songs chapter 1, verse 15. You realize when you read the first one, it's all about her. It's about her enjoyment. Jesus is actually is a mean to an end. Okay, so all four powerful key statements. Okay, verse 14. The first one is chapter 1, verse 14. She said this, my beloved is to me. Said, Jesus belongs to me. Okay, there's no mention of she belongs to Jesus. It's true. Jesus is our inheritance. But at the same time, there's something that Jesus wants. He wants us to be his inheritance. But she's starting at the journey where she's totally self-centered, totally immature. I mean, she said, my beloved is to me a cluster of hanum blooms in the vineyard of Engedi. Okay, and this, if you find this a little bit confusing, we will explain it as we go through line by line for the next 14, 15 weeks. Okay, basically she's saying, oh, Jesus, bless me, bless me, bless me. So nice to be a Christian and believer. God is just blessing my health. Sounds a little bit like prosperity theory or prosperity theology, okay? Which is that's where she began, okay? That is the first inheritance statement. But as she go further, she began to mature and grow. That's why this four inheritance statement is so powerful, because it actually indicate the progression of our faith. Okay, once in a while, I'll take out all this four and ask myself, where am I really? Okay, don't use this four to measure other people. Okay, where is Darren now? Oh, Darren's at 2. Or where is Joel now? No, use this for yourself, okay? Because it indicate where you are, and you can cry out to God to do something deeper in your life, okay? Then there's a second inheritance statement. Second inheritance statement, which is chapter 2, verse 16. Now she have grown. Every inheritance statement, that is the progression of her faith. Now Jesus is being mentioned. She recognized that Jesus owns her. But the point is this, she's still weak and immature because she still can't first. It's like, oh, I will serve you, but bless me first. Bless me first. I will serve you, but bless me first. Okay. The second inheritance statement, chapter 2, verse 16. Remember the first one, chapter 1, verse 14? All she says is, my beloved is to me. Nothing is being mentioned about she is owned by Jesus too. Now, the second inheritance statement, which is chapter 2, verse 16. Now, Jesus is being mentioned. She said this, my beloved is mine, and I am his. Okay. Jesus now is being mentioned. She recognized Jesus' ownership in her life, but she still comes first. Jesus is still second. Okay, let's turn to Song of Songs chapter 6, verse 3. Song of Songs chapter 6, verse 3. Now the order switch. Okay, if you know the book, if you are familiar with this book, the third inheritance statement really come after the trial and the testing that she has gone through. Okay, see, sometimes God allows trial and testing. Is really to refine us, not to torture us. The goal of God when He sends trial and testing is not to torture us or He's upset with us. It's to chip off all the rough edges, to refine our character so that we will become the very person that God desires. Okay, listen to the third inheritance statement, which is immediately after she has gone through two very painful and difficult trial and testing, okay, where she passed with a brilliant color. Okay, chapter 6, verse 3. Realize now the order switch. Remember in chapter 2, she comes first. Jesus, second. Okay, in chapter 2, verse 16, she said, my beloved is mine, and I am his. Now in chapter 6, verse 3, the order switch. Jesus come first. So, yes, Jesus, you are first. And she come second. Her enjoyment, blessings, and her concern now is secondary. Okay, verse 3, chapter 6 say this. I am my beloved. Now Jesus come first. Oh, I belong to Jesus. Jesus owns me. I am my beloved. And my beloved is mine. Finally, the ultimate one, chapter 7, verse 10. Our goal really is to reach chapter 7, verse 10, where now she has reached the total maturity. It's really the ultimate statement of a maturity where she totally have no concern for herself because she has such confidence in the Lord. She has no concern. She said this in chapter 7, verse 10. She said, I am my beloved. His desire is towards me. Say, oh, Jesus belongs to me. No, I belong to Jesus. I surrender totally and fully unto Him. I know He's a good shepherd. I know that He is good. I will not be fearful. She has reached the ultimate level of maturity. Chapter 7, verse 10 is really the ultimate statement of maturity. So these are two main parts. Chapter 1 to 4, which is the bride's inheritance, or rather, Jesus' inheritance in the bride. And chapter 5, verse 8. Okay. And the four inheritance statement. Turn me to chapter 1. Song of Song, chapter 1. I'm going to give you a general outline and overview of the entire book. There are 15, we can break the book into 15 sections where that really describe her journey and chart out the journey. Okay, the whole 15 section give us a very clear storyline in the pursuit of intimacy with Jesus so that when we read it, we understand. In fact, it's a very good word map or signpost to tell us where we are right now. What is God really dealing with us in this whole journey of faith? Am I at the upper soaking meeting time or am I at the testing time? Because in our walk with God, there are different seasons. Spring, autumn, summer, winter, and we need to recognize it. It's never the same. God deals with us, deals with different issue of life in different journey of our life. That's why this is so important. Okay, so the book can be divided into 15 sections. Turn with me to chapter 1, because we're going to run through briefly. The first section, the journey hasn't really begun in chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, okay? Chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, if you want to get right down. I call this chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. The first four verses is really the summary, the theme, and the introduction of the entire Song of Song. Okay? Her journey has not begun. This is like a movie trailer. If you're watching, before a movie come out, there's a movie trailer. Chapter 1, verse 1 to 4 is like a movie trailer. Give us that brief summary and tell us the theme of the entire book. Okay, in four verses, it summarizes the entire heartbeat of the Song of Song. It's in just that four verses. That four verses is so powerful. Okay, so verse 1 to 4 for chapter 1. It's a summary, the theme, and the introduction of the Song of Song. Okay, I will call this section the brighter visions for intimacy. The brighter vision for intimacy. Okay, just these four verses, it really set the pattern for every believer. Okay, it's an invitation for us to enter into passionate Christianity. Powerful four verses. Okay, let me just say this. There's no such things in the Bible as passionate Christianity. I know I get so a little bit upset recently when I was in a meeting. We were discussing some plans and strategies, and some of the people were telling me, oh no, this plan is for hardcore believers. I kind of like stood up and said, no, there's no such thing as hardcore or softcore believer. Every believer has to be passionate, okay? So these four verses is like an invitation for every believer for passionate Christianity. It's a vision, okay? It should be a vision. It should be a pattern for every believer. The first four verses is like the bride of Christ, the Shulamite woman who is a picture of the bride of Christ, crying out, oh, I want to know Jesus intimately. I want to have passion for Jesus. This should be a vision and the pattern for every believer. That's why I always tell young people, if you don't have a life goal, even if you have a life goal, old people too, like me, if you don't have a life goal, you don't have a life vision, adopt these first four verses as a life goal and the life visions. Everything will fall in place. Okay, this is like a pattern for passionate Christianity. Okay, I call it the brighter vision for intimacy. Verse 2 is a brighter cry for intimacy. Brighter cry for intimacy. One of the most important prayers in the entire Bible. Okay, it's the Old Testament version of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 19, where she cried out, let him kiss me with the kisses of his word, for your love is better than wine. It's the cry for deeper intimacy with Jesus. That's verse 2, okay? Brighter cry for intimacy. Verse 3, I call it the pleasure of loving God. The pleasure of loving God, where even through this verse, the book of Song of Song, introduced revelation-based desire for God. You see, a lot of time, we have this idea that loving God is a pleasure. No, loving God is a pleasure. That's where in verse 3, the book of the Song of Song introduces revelation-based desire for God. I call it pleasure of loving God. It's like the Old Testament version of Philippians 3, verse 7 to 14. What did Paul say? I consider all things rubbish so that I may gain Christ. Because he discovered that Jesus is much better, a greater prize and the reward than anything. If only we have a glimpse, If only we have a revelation. We're going to consider all things rubbish. You see, we are unable to give up more to God, or we are unable to surrender more to God simply because we have less revelation of who God is. So the goal is not to buy a bigger bullet. The goal is to cry out for greater revelation of who Jesus is. Because when you have the greater revelation of who Jesus is, you're not going to painfully surrender. You're going to willingly surrender. That's why Paul said, this is not paying the price, P-R-I-C-E. This is attaining the prize, P-R-I-Z-E. It's such a powerful, just one verse. Okay, verse 3 said this. Because of the fragrance of your good ointment, it's talking about the revelation of the nature and the name of who Jesus is. Your name is ointment poured forth. Listen to the next statement. That's why I call this the pleasure of loving God, revelation-based desire. This verse says what? Therefore, the virgin loves you. When they discover who you are, they will love you. They have to love you. It'll be injustice if they do not love you because of the revelation of the beauty and the worthiness of who Jesus is. So that's verse 3. Okay, powerful verse 3. Verse 4. I call it the biblical pattern and priorities of our faith. Okay, we're all familiar with this verse, especially any houses of prayer. Draw me away and I will run with you. Okay, it's a biblical pattern and priorities of our faith. That means draw close to God first. Intimacy with God first. Draw close to God first. Then run with God. Run with God is talking about partnering with Him in ministry or the Great Commission. No, Great Commission is not unimportant. But at best, Great Commission is second. What is the first and the great commandment? Love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. What is the second commandment? Love your neighbor is like the Great Commission. This is like the first and the great commandment in verse 4. So that is section 1 of the Song of Song. It's chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. Now section 2. Section 2. That's where her journey really begins right now, okay, which is chapter 1, verse 5 to 11. Chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 5 to 11. You can entitle this, Her Journey Begin. The pursuit of Jesus. The journey into holy passion for Jesus begins in chapter 1, verse 5. Okay, chapter 1, verse 5 to chapter 1, verse 5 to verse 11. Okay, she began this pursuit with a spiritual crisis, which a lot of us will discover, okay, where she discovered four things. Okay, she discovered four things. One is her sin. That's in verse 6. That's why in verse 6 she said, "Do not look at me because I am dark." She discovered her sinful nature. Okay, so that's the first thing she discovered. Second, she discovered her shame. Okay, again, that's in verse 6 too. And then she was rejected by people. That's verse 6 too. Okay, in four statements. And lastly, she was burned out due to overwork. So her whole journey in pursuing Jesus began with that spiritual crisis. Okay, where she discovered her sin, she discovered her shame, she was rejected by people, and she got burned out. Okay, she got burned out. But yet, there is a reason why God allows this to happen. Because Song of Song chapter 1 is where we begin. Yet, it's at a very important juncture where we begin. Because it introduces a very important truth and a very powerful principle called, I am dark but lovely. I am dark, but love. You can call this the paradox of grace. That means we are weak, we are immature, we are struggling with sin, yet God enjoys and loves us. Okay, this is a very powerful principle and truth which will give us confidence in running to God even when we are weak or when we struggle with sin. This is where it begins. That's why every time I teach about intimacy with God, I always start with laying this fundamental or foundational principle, knowing that even when we are dark, we are lovely in the eyes of God because God enjoys and likes us even when we are weak. And that will really give us confidence to run to God. See, the truth of the matter is, a lot of time in our journey with God is a roller coaster. Or Charles Swindoll would say this, 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. When we do well, we run to God, 3 steps forward. When we do bad, we go back 2 steps. Simply because we never have that confidence in knowing that even when we are weak, God likes and enjoys us. And this is not the end point. But this is an important starting point. Knowing that I am dark, but lovely. That's why even in the deepest of her deepest crisis, in verse 7, she cried out to Jesus. It's a lot of time, even myself, when I don't have understanding about God enjoys me, when I struggle in sin, I run away from God. But she turned to God. She cried out in verse 7. Okay, verse 7 is the prayer. She cried out to Jesus for help. See, that's where we need confidence in the Lord. Because when we don't have confidence in the Lord, in crisis, we would run away from Him instead of running to Him. Okay. So in chapter 1, which is the second section, verse 5 to 11, that's where her journey began. Even though it began with so-called the spiritual crisis, but God, in His wisdom, introduce a very important principle. I'm dark but lovely. I am dark but lovely. But let me just say a thing about this truth. Okay, this truth must be held in tension. That means you need to hold both. Don't just emphasize on I am dark. If all you're emphasizing or overemphasizing on your sinfulness, that's going to lead to shame, hopelessness, and the lack of confidence. But on the other hand, we must not just overemphasize, I'm lovely, I'm loved. You know why? You will never appreciate grace if you don't have a realization of your sinful nature. That's why you need to hold both truth in tension. Not just emphasizing on one, neglecting another, or emphasizing another, neglecting one. You need to emphasize both. I am dark. No, but keep looking in the mirror and say, I'm dark, I'm dark. Okay, that's not going to help. I'm talking about holding intention. I'm dark. I recognize that I have sinful nature within me. But thank God, God give me grace. He likes me, even in my weakness. Okay, so we need to hold on to both. So that is verse 5 and verse 6. Then verse 7. Even in her weakness, because of her confidence in her, she cried out to Jesus. Okay, she cried out to Jesus. So I always put the questions there. In crisis, do I turn to God? In crisis, do I turn to God? No, this is an important question, because truth of the matter is that in crisis, many people don't turn to God. Many people run away from God. Now, I'm not just talking about just necessarily sin, but in many things, in crisis, we a lot of time run away from God, or we try to solve our own problem. It's because we lack confidence in who God is. So this is very important, because even in the deepest of her deepest crisis, she cried out to God. This is the first prayer in the entire Song of Songs. She cried out in verse 7. That's what she said. Tell me, O you whom I love, where you feed your flock, where you make it rest at noon. It's like she's saying, where are you, Jesus? I'm in a mess. Will you come and help me? Help me. She turned to the Lord. Okay, that's where in verse 8 to verse 10. Now Jesus appeared to her. I shared with you 2 weeks ago that in the entire Song of Song, there are 8-fold revelation of who Jesus is. Okay, it's all eight revelation is being revealed at different juncture and the strategic place. Okay, it's very important. Okay, this is a very important principle because every time and different juncture, Jesus revealed a certain aspect of himself is to strengthen, to lead, and to guide her. No, the principle apply even to our walk with the Lord. Every time there's a new season, I always advise people, discover a new revelation of who God is. In every new season, you need to have a new encounter and a new revelation. Okay, so in the entire Song of Song, there are eightfold revelation of Jesus that reveal at different strategic point. Okay, in chapter 1, verse 8 to 10, Jesus appeared to her as a counseling and the tender-hearted shepherd. These are the Psalm 23. Because she is down, she's in a crisis, Jesus came before her as a good shepherd and as a good leader to lead her. Because she said, I'm lost, I'm down, will you help me? And Jesus appeared as the good shepherd. It's like a Psalms 23. Okay, so that is second section. Third section of the journey. Song of Song chapter 1, verse 11 to chapter 2, verse 17. Chapter 1, verse 11 to chapter 2, verse, did I say verse 17? No, verse 7, sorry. Chapter 1, there's no verse 17, okay. There is, but verse 17 is all the way to the end, okay. Chapter 1, verse 11 to chapter 2, verse 7. Chapter 1, 11. It's good to write on top of all this section on your Bible. I don't know how you do it for iPad or iPhone. I can figure a way out to do it. Okay, that's why I still use the old Bible. Okay. So that when you read, you know the whole entire journey. Okay, the third section, chapter 1, verse 11 to chapter 2, verse 7. This is a very crucial season of her life. Okay, I call this establishment of a bridal identity. Establishment of her bridal identity is a vital season. It's the foundational season. Unfortunately, a lot of times, young believers, we don't give them time to lay that foundation, knowing who we are in Christ. That's why if you read this section, ends with chapter 7, which gives us a divine charge, where the Holy Spirit says, do not disturb. It's like, back off. Because some of the shepherds who do not have wisdom and understanding say, hey, how can you just sit there, eat apple, soaking meeting? There are many people need to be saved outside the wall of the church. Get up your seat and do something. And the Spirit of God said, can you just back off? This is a season for her to be established in her identity. It's a vital season. Because if this season is being short-circuited, she will never be as strong in her life. Okay, that's why it's so vital. Song of Song chapter 1, verse 11 to chapter 2, verse 7. Establishment of a bridal identity. Okay, it's a season where God is establishing her bridal identity to cause her to know who she is. Okay, yeah. This is where Jesus came and revealed the second full revelation of who he is. He came as the affectionate father. Okay, that's verse 11 to verse 13. Verse 11 to verse 13. I will go into greater detail and explanation because I know some of you in your head must be asking, so is Jesus the son of the father? How come now he came as the affectionate father? Remember, just write this down. John 14, verse 7 to 9. John 14. Verse 7 to 9. Remember Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. Jesus is the exact representation, exact image of the invisible God. Okay, so no, he's not the Father, but he came to demonstrate who the Father is because it's important for her to establish in her identity. Okay, so in this whole section, Jesus came as an affectionate father. Okay, this is, you can write this, just go and compare. Okay, this passage, this whole section actually parallel, remember the parable of the prodigal son? Okay, Luke 15. where the father came to restore the son. Okay, there are a few things that here Jesus trying to do to establish a brighter identity. Okay, five things. Okay, five things. The first one, cause her to understand the work of the cross, which is verse 12. Verse 12. That's why throughout the whole night, she meditate on verse 13 say, a bundle of myrrh is my beloved to me. If you understand, myrrh is a kind of spice in the ancient days where you used to embalm corpse, dead people, okay? So it's talking about the work of the cross, okay? Verse 13, okay? Five truths that the Lord is trying to establish, you know, which is a five foundational truth for believers. The first one, the work of the cross, which is verse 12. Second, the pleasure and the delight of God for her. That's verse 15. Do you know that we need to know that? Unfortunately, a lot of us don't know that. A lot of us, including myself, grow up, we think that God is mostly mad and mostly sad towards us. No, God has great delight. Yes, He has some issue with your life, certain part of your life because of sin. But He has great delight and pleasure because you are His son. So when you look at it, He does see that weakness or that sin. But as a whole, He likes you. He enjoys you. That is verse 15. Okay, I thought it's such a powerful description. It's where Jesus said this, "Behold, you are fair." Okay, fair means beautiful. Okay, in the ancient days, they used the word fair instead of beautiful. Okay, so don't tell your wife, you are fair, you are fair. What do you mean you are fair? Basically, it means you are beautiful. Okay, so it's describing the second truth is that Jesus trying to establish in the bride is for her to know the pleasure and the delight of God for her. The third one, which is verse 16 and 17. Verse 16 and 17, the beauty of Jesus. The beauty of Jesus. Okay. The beauty of who Jesus is. You know why this is vital? That's where at the end of the day, we know that He is the prize. He is the prize. Okay. Because all this will empower her to surrender her all, because Jesus is going to come and test her. Because the next season, He's going to come to challenge her out of her comfort zone. That's why He needs to establish some of this truth and reality deeply in her life. Okay, so that's why when you read some of these things, don't just read and understand it. Pray it over yourself. Ask the Holy Spirit to establish this truth in your life. Because that will make you strong. You know, we always pray Ephesians 3:16. What does Ephesians 3:16 say? The Father of glory will strengthen your inner man with might. Strengthen with what? Speak some of this truth in your life and ask God to strengthen that life. Because these are foundational truth. Okay. So the third one, the beauty of Jesus. The beauty of Jesus. Verse 16 to 17. Verse 16 to 17. And the fourth one, pleasure of loving God. Pleasure of loving God. That means loving God is a pleasure. That's chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. Chapter 2, verse 3 to 5, which is very vital. We need to discover the pleasure of loving God. That's why when David fell into sin, the first psalm that he wrote to confess his sin, that's verse 10. I mean, he said this, "Create in me a pure heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation." David understood that. It's a pleasure to love God. Okay, salvation is not just carrying the cross. Unfortunately, a lot of times, all we talk about is deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. Okay, no, it's much more than that. And the fifth one,